going to continue our series from that particular psalm. And I hope this psalm, as we've studied it, as we're on the sixth lesson, has been beneficial to you. I know the study has been helpful to me. In the 73rd psalm, if you will, read verses 21 and 22 for the thought for our study. "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand." We've watched this man throughout this psalm as he comes to realize certain things. First, we see his thinking towards God becomes right in verse 1 when the man said that God is good to Israel. Then we saw where this man said he nearly slipped, that his feet had almost stumbled, and that he said he became envious of the wicked. But when we came down to verse 17, we recognized this man began to think spiritually correct. Instead of looking out at those who were living in a worldly way and being envious, this man got his correct thinking when he started to look through the eyes of God and look toward God. So then we want to continue our study, and we want us tonight look in verses 21 and 22 in particular. And this is a very important part of the psalm. In fact, let me be right frank, though this is where most people want to stop the psalm. Because most people don't have any difficulty talking about the goodness of God. And most people don't have any difficulty talking about the ungodly or the speaking about the condition of people living in an ungodly age. But now he is going to talk about looking at ourselves. And he's going to talk about self-examination. And it's here that we see the honesty and sincerity of this man as he stands head over many. Because you'll find a lot of people that'll talk about the world being in a slippery place. And they'll talk about the ungodliness of others. But when it comes to examining self, you'll find that little people have no desire to do such. I first want you to take note that this man, when you read verses 21 and verse 22, he saw his need of repentance. He said, "My heart was grieved, I was vexed in my mind, I was so foolish and ignorant." This man saw that he needed to change. That when he was envious of the wicked, when he was looking out at the ungodly, when he desired to live that way, he saw that that was a foolish way to think. And he began to look at his own heart, and this man said, "I need to change." His heart was grieved. He saw a need of getting right with God. You see that example throughout the Bible. You can turn to the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter, and you remember the young man that went off into the far country. He lived in the filth of sin. And then he saw that he needed to change. He needed to go back to his father. And I think about that young man who decided to get up and go home and go back to his father, that he repented of his iniquity. I think about Job in Job 42 and verse 6. He saw the need to repent. When he spoke to God and he said, "I abhor myself, I repent in dust and with dust and sackcloth." You see the man as he begins to show sincerity and repentance. But notice secondly what this man does. Not only does he see the need to repent, he sees the need to confess what he had done. Notice that he said, "I was foolish and ignorant." Now you know, my friend, that takes a lot of courage to make that statement. There's a lot of people who would never admit to their sin, and they would never admit to being foolish and ignorant. But this man made a great confession. He made the confession to the God of heaven. He said, "What I was doing was foolish. It was contrary to your word." And he said, "I was acting ignorantly of what your word has revealed." And this man confessed his sin. And you know the same is true today. We must confess our sins unto God. In 1 John 1:9, you remember that John said, if we confess our sins, Jesus is willing to, if God is faithful and just, to forgive us of our sin. How can we repent if we refuse to confess? There are some things, what we do is we'll go up to somebody and we know we've done wrong to them, but we'll say, "Well, if I did something." It's not if I did something. What we need to do is just confess, "I'm sorry for what I did." That's true repentance. not putting conditions on it, but being honest about what I've done, what I've transgressed, and how I've hurt God and maybe hurt my fellow brother. But that brings up a third thing. This man began to notice that his heart was troubled. And no man can repent until his heart gets right. Notice that this man says, I was vexed in my mind. I was vexed in my heart. This man realized he needed to get his life right. And notice that he said he was grieved. When one is grieved, he's not thinking right about himself. And he said, my heart was grieved. My mind was vexed. So I want you to think about in the Philippian letter and the fourth chapter. When you come to the Philippian letter and the fourth chapter, when the Apostle Paul is writing, notice what he says. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells us how to get rid of that anxious feeling. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Paul knew that it would be pointless to deal with the mind until the heart was put right, so he put the heart right first. And that's what we must do. We must have our heart right, so our mind will be right. You know, all families have quarrels, and all churches have problems. But I'll tell you what the root of all these is. It is because the heart's not right with somebody. And what we need is to stop and examine ourselves. Self-examination is needed of the heart. This is what leads to repentance. And you know, so often we want to look at the other person and cast them as the wicked one and excuse our own actions. But this man looked at himself honestly. And can I say that can be very painful? When I look at myself honestly, I start to see my flaws, my shortcomings, my errors, those things that I've done wrong, and that can be very painful. But this man recognized that to make the changes he needed to make, he needed to see himself honestly. So that brings up a second thought in our study. Not only did that man see his need of repentance, see that he needed to confess, see that his heart was in trouble, when he began to examine himself, look at what this man and see what he does to look and observe himself. Notice how he describes himself. Look again in verse 22. He said, I was foolish. The first thing he said about himself is, I was foolish. I've been acting in a foolish manner. He'd been guilty of making some of his problems bigger than they were. You know, there are a lot of problems in life, but a lot of problems are self-imposed. And we make them bigger because we don't stop and examine ourselves. And here was a man who was guilty of making his problems bigger. We often say of some, they're making a mountain out of a molehill. But I'll tell you, that's true with some people. They really don't know what problems are. Now, there are some people here that are going through great problems. They're going through a lot of things we don't even know about. But I remember hearing one person say, I thought I had problems till I really had some, then everything else seemed so little. And many times what happens is we act in a foolish manner. We think we have it rougher than everybody else. We think we have it tougher than everybody else. And we don't know what everybody else is going through. I'll never forget this little lady that I knew who never complained. And when I found out about her life, I stood amazed. And I'll never forget a little man down in Florida who's passed away. His name was Dominic Akatura. And when I'd get in trouble, they'd make me go out and work. You know, in college, they don't send you notes to mom and daddy. Instead, they make you go out and work. And daddy, you just don't pay attention to this part of the lesson. And so I'd have to go out and dig in the yard, or he'd plant flowers or whatever. And I'd be out there, and he'd ask me about my girlfriends at that time. And he'd say, you just need to pick one and stay with one. And he's just always giving advice. I come to find out that he had lived a really rough life. That his wife had Lou Gehrig's disease. That when he was just a child, he left Italy with his father, and his mother was to come later, but she died before she ever got to the States. And he took care of his wife And he would always say to her, "It's all right, Mama. Everything's going to be all right." And he'd feed her. And he would help move her. And he had all these things that nobody knew about. And he never hardly talked about it. And then we look at our problems, and sometimes what we do is we magnify little things, and we don't know what problems are till they come. But secondly, he was foolish in thinking about the ungodly. Not only can we be guilty of blowing things up, we can be guilty of thinking about the ungodly, about their life. He saw where he'd been foolish about his thinking about their life being great. And self-examination is good for a man because he can really see things as they should be. It's difficult for most of us to admit we've been foolish in our thinking. We think culture's got it made. We think that the elite have got it made. We think that the rich have got it made. And you know what this man came to learn? That these individuals, though they may be wealthy, though the wicked may prosper, though they may have an abundance, though they live in violence and they seem to be able to get away with everything, he said that I saw their end. That's where we fail sometimes. We live foolishly thinking that the wicked will continue to thrive. There'll come a day they stand before God and they hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But notice what else he said. He said, "I'm ignorant." And you know another meaning for that is stupid. He said, "I was stupid." And notice he said, he had been as a beast before God. Would it not be good for men to see themselves in this manner? Some are nothing more than beasts in the eyes of God. Jude says that in Jude 10. That they act like mere animals. They act like a beast. And their manner of behavior is opposite of an intelligent person. Ignorant of how to behave. You ever notice somebody that they just are so contrary to God's will? And there are some individuals that they live their life just so they can be ungodly. They live their life so that they can live in a way that is filthy and vile and contrary to God's word. And you know what that is? That's ignorant, because you're going to give an account for that. But there's something else. He said he recognized he had no respect for discipline. You know, animals don't like to be disciplined. And he had been one to not take discipline. And he acted like a beast in this manner. Notice again what he said. "I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you." You know, sometimes we need discipline to get back on course. But look at that phrase there, "I was before thee." This is where his thinking starts to become correct. He realized he'd been before God the whole time. And you know, most of us, if we're not careful, we're ignorant of the fact we are before God all the time. Sometimes we think we're just before Him when we come to this building. I want to tell you, my friend, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, it says all things are naked and open to the eye of God. There's no escaping the presence of God. He knows every secret thing. In the 55th, or in Psalm 139, David said, "He knows my thoughts from afar." He said, "I could go to the heavens or to the depths of Sheol." And he said, "Behold, God is there." What is David saying? You can't escape the presence of God. All things are open to Him. But notice that this man, because of that, instead of being fearful, this man, when he realized he's continually before God, takes comfort in that. You know why? He's changed his thinking. If he continued to live the ungodly way, if he continued to live it foolishly, if he continued to live ignorantly, then my friend, you don't want the presence of God with you. You don't want God knowing what you're doing. You don't want your family knowing what you're doing. If you have any self-respect, you don't want anybody in the community to know what you're doing. A lot of people leave town to do some of the darkest sins because they don't want it to be known in their hometown. But this man came to a realization that God is good, and that if he walked with God in the way that he should, look at what he said. "You hold me by my right hand." Look at verse 24. "You guide me with your counsel." Isn't that beautiful? that I no longer try to hide from God. Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned, what did they do? They tried to hide. Sin makes us try to cover up our deeds. But when we examine ourselves and we come before God in all honesty and we pour our heart out to God and we say, I am grieved because of my sin. I've acted foolishly. I've acted ignorantly. I was acting like an animal. I wasn't using my intellect and my heart in the right way. And Lord, I beg you to forgive me. And I want to walk before you. I want you to hold my hand and lead me home. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Fear changes to comfort. There were times I was fearful of my daddy. But I'll never forget one time when I was just real young. I'd gotten lost. And I couldn't find my mother or my father. And I was in a crowd and this seemed like people everywhere. And I said, someone's going to kidnap me and sell me for sure. And Daddy'd always said, don't worry about it, son. They'll bring you back before the night's done. But I wasn't sure about that. And I'll never forget, I looked up. And you think his hair's white now. It is, but it wasn't quite as white then. And I saw that old white head. And you know what I did? I parted the people to get to it. Why? I wanted to be with my father. There's a feeling about being lost that is disconcerting. And spiritually, there should be a feeling about being lost that's disconcerting. And that we'll part anything that gets between us and the Father. Because we want Him to hold our hand. We want His counsel to guide us. And that's what this man came to learn. When he examined himself, he said, I want to walk with God, not away from God. I want Him to hold my hand instead of trying to resist Him and go the other way. I want Him to guide me in the way I should go. But for us to ever get there, we have to go through some painful things by examining where we truly are. Confessing some things that may be hard to confess. And peeling away some things that have been there for a long time that we need to get rid of so that we can be right with God. Have you examined yourself? If tonight you've never put on Christ in baptism or you've left the Lord and you need to be restored, tonight's the night to examine yourself and make your life right. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite.